The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, the buying up of a housing estate by investment funds was described as unacceptable by the Taoiseach Micheál Martin in the Dáil yesterday. This came after heavy criticism from opposition to the government's housing policies. But why is the Irish housing market so attractive for these so-called vulture funds? And is it even possible for the government to prevent such practices? We're joined now by Senior Lecturer in Housing at TU Dublin, Lorcan Sir, and by Mark McSharry, a Fianna Fáil TD for Sligo, Leitrim, South Donegal and North Roscommon. You're very welcome both to the programme. Lorcan, we might get into a bit of history first about these so-called vulture funds. Some of these funds that have come into the Irish market have been quite respectable funds representing trade unions and teachers and all of that. But basically, what are they and what are they doing here?
Yeah, it really doesn't matter, Pat, who they represent. I suppose it's their activities on the ground that count and that are causing a stir at the moment. They were brought in essentially in 2013 by Michael Noonan when he was Minister for Finance, who made it a very, what we might call, tax-friendly for these companies to operate in Ireland. And the idea then was, of course, there was no money to spend on housing. And, you know, we were on the floor, essentially. So he thought it was better to attract in companies who might build using their money rather than using our own money. Now, they have stayed mostly because of the tax advantages they get from being here, but also because it's incredibly lucrative for them to stay. Like, we know for a long time that rents have been quite high. That means their returns are quite good. And they've been increasingly active in the market, mostly buying either unbuilt or built apartment blocks in their entirety, because for them it's easier to manage an entire block than multiple separate houses. But in the last few years, so it's not just happened in the last couple of weeks, it's gone on for the last few years, we have seen increased activity by these funds buying up housing estates and groups of houses, which are, you know, typically more challenging to manage as such. So you'd have to ask the question, why are they suddenly moving into housing and not buying up all the blocks?
Yeah, we'll come to that in a moment. But just these REITs, Real Estate Investor Trusts, REITs, it appears they pay no capital gains tax, no corporation tax, no tax on their rent rolls. How can that be?
Yeah, well, this was the system and structure that was set up. There's kind of two types, IREFs, Irish Real Estate Funds, there's so many acronyms, Pat, and then REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts. And the idea of a REIT, for example, is that ordinary people can invest in property. So instead of having to go out and buy an entire property yourself, you can essentially buy shares in a REIT who will go out and then buy property on your behalf. So you'll hold shares in multiple properties rather than owning one, as say a small landlord would do. And the idea behind them, as I said, was to make it, you know, to come in and get them to build in the state, because there was nothing happening in the state on the house building front for a long time after our spectacular bust.
Okay, but what's been happening, of course, is that a developer has a housing estate, and the idea of putting ads in the paper or going to an estate agent and selling these houses one by one by one, and people traipsing in and out, looking at them, measuring the walls, having surveyors come in and all the rest of it. Why not sell to one purchaser who check out the build generally, and the developer walks off with a big pack of money in his or her pocket, mostly his, and they leave the fund at it. And then the fund, and this is the interesting bit, the fund may not put them on the normal market to rent to Mr. and Mrs. O'Brien. They may in turn rent them to the council as a block.
Yeah, I think you've hit on one element of it there, which is obviously it's easier for the house builder to sell them en masse to one entity. But the second part of it, which a lot of people miss, is the bank, the role of the banks in this. And the banks might often refuse. So typically house builders will build houses in phases, you know, phase one, two, three, four, and sell each phase as they go along. And as they sell a phase, the banks will release money for phase two and phase three and so on. So the banks have been kind of tightening up on the amount of money that they're allowing to house builders and how they access it. So it could quite be the case, quite often it's the case, that the banks will only release money if there is a pre-sale in such a case like this. And then you're right, I said it on the radio the other night, and I was shot down by a TD in Kildare. I said I would bet you money that these houses will be turned around and be rented back to Kildare County Council. And he denied it, but I suspect that's what's going to happen, because the way, you know, an apartment block, if you're interested just in investment, you would buy an apartment block. Easier to manage. You know, it's all kind of one type of building, one lift shaft, one stair, all that kind of stuff. So why buy houses? And the reason you buy houses, particularly in places like Kildare, is because that's what they need for their social housing waiting list. They need family houses to give to families. So that's why the funds have started to get involved in houses as a part of post-apartment block. So it wouldn't surprise me, Pat, and I would buy you a pint if it didn't happen, that these houses would be turned around and offered to an approved housing body or to Kildare County Council for very expensive rent on incredibly generous lease terms.
There was some talk of these property funds actually just leasing the houses, if you like, from the developer and then handing houses back to the developer, you know, tarted up and in pristine condition. So the developer gets two bites of the cherry. They get to get, you know, an ongoing rent roll perhaps, or a lump sum from one of these funds, and then they get their property back to sell it all over again in 25 years' time.
Yeah, so there's two types of leases that these, you know, the fund that bought these houses could go into. And most typically, it's what's called an enhanced lease from the council. So that would be for brand new buildings. So they'd get 95% of the market rent, which would be reviewed every 3 years in line with inflation. So typically going up. And they may or may not be responsible for the maintenance of the building. But effectively, they walk away for 20, 25 years, getting, you know, the vast majority of the market rent without having to do anything. And at the end of the 25 years, the council would have to hand back the houses and do what's called, in commercial property, it's called dilapidation. So they'd have to refurbish the house to a pristine standard so that it could be relet as new again. And at the end of all that, despite paying enough rent to build two or three houses themselves, the council still wouldn't own any houses at the end of 25 years, and then the fund can turn around and do it again.
Yeah. Now there has been something going on since Owen Murphy's time, really, where entire apartment blocks were being built for sale to individuals, and then as they approach conclusion, suddenly the developer then sells the entire block to, or series of blocks, to one of these funds. And I remember talking to Owen Murphy, and he said it was only a tiny part of the market. And it might have been in terms of the planning permissions, you know, small planning permissions, a number of planning permissions, but each one might represent hundreds and hundreds of dwellings. So it actually did amount to quite a large chunk of what was coming to market, but not being on the market. So it was condemning a whole generation of people to renting who would prefer to buy. You know, they watch a block going up in their neighbourhood and they say, yeah, I'd like to buy there, and the likely price is so-and-so, and I've got my deposit. And just as they set their hearts on at least having a go at buying one of the apartments, they're told, sorry, you can only rent.
Yeah,
that's not acceptable.
There. Well, the first thing is you should never use planning permissions as a measure of anything, because they're very inaccurate. But the second thing is every year now, so in the last couple of years, we were building around 20, 21,000 houses a year. What people don't realise is that the state itself would buy up about 6,000 of those houses, brand new houses now, not secondhand ones, brand new houses. Yeah. And these funds are buying another one in six, so about 3,600 housing units a year. Now, mostly it was apartments are being bought by these funds, about 3,600. But recently, of course, it's going to move into housing. So out of the 20 or 21,000 houses that we build every year, only about 7,500 houses actually come on the market for those young, you know, families and first-time buyers to potentially have a go at. The state itself picks up 5,000 or 6,000, and then these funds are increasingly active. And of course, you know, the government policy is all about, you know, we should be living in dense areas and apartment living. But of course, you know, when it's only for rent and when it's expensive rent, you know, people are going to do the obvious choice and move to Newbridge and move to Louth and commute up and down to cities, which again is contrary to government policy. So we have government policy kind of eating itself here at the moment.
So the real thing, though, is that of the 21,000 or whatever, half are going to go into the rental market. The state is not in the business of selling the houses they want, whether it's local authorities or whatever. They will rent them on an ongoing basis, and the REITs do the rest of the renting. So one in two houses only, or apartments, will only be offered for sale. So that's why, you know, there is a huge demand, a lack of supply of stuff for sale, which, of course, in turn pushes prices up. And that's why in a pandemic, we haven't had a collapse in house prices. We've had the opposite.
Yeah, and okay, in defence of the councils and approved housing bodies who are buying up brand new houses, at least they own them. You know, they're a permanent addition to our social housing stock, and we'll have them forever, and we can rent them forever. And we're not throwing good money after bad at funds who are, you know, on very generous lease terms. And at the end of the 20 or 25 years, we still don't own it. Like, you're only making traction in social housing if you're owning the properties. Now, I have made a proposal I suggested on the radio the other evening that, you know, we should ban these funds from involvement in residential property. In other countries, they are banned, in Switzerland and Germany, from involvement in residential property to prevent exactly this type of thing to happen. Now, the minister said that that would be a radical move, but to be honest with you, what this government needs, I think, and I'm not a politician, so I'm not going to get into policies of this, but we need some radical decisions being made in housing policy to move things on a bit, because it is stagnating and has stagnated for the last 10 years. With, you know, supply isn't going a whole anywhere. We've brought new people into the market who are moving it very much towards renting. When we have a whole, you know, cohort of people who are dying to buy their own homes and start families and do all that kind of stuff.
And what about allowing them to continue, say, in areas of high commerce like the Dublin Docklands or student accommodation? Could they continue doing that, the REITs?
There is a kind of a narrative out there, Pat, that, you know, oh, if it wasn't for these funds, these buildings would never have been built, these apartments, and we need them. I don't buy into that, because I look at it the other way. I think, well, what would have happened if these funds weren't here? And what would have happened is that land prices would have fallen, and perhaps your average Irish house builder would have moved in and built apartments for sale. Because these funds, you have to remember, they've got a huge deep pockets. So they're coming out in here and outbidding and displacing your average Irish landlord, but also your average Irish house builder. And that to build properties that are solely for rent. So I take the opposite view, and I would say, well, if these funds hadn't been here, or if they're not here in the future, I suspect land prices will fall. Other SME builders, ordinary house builders that we've known for you know, generations in this country, will be able to get back in the game and build decent housing and apartments for sale. And remember, we've reduced the standards as well. So it's not just, when I say decent housing, I mean it. The standards for rental accommodation are lower, for new rental accommodation are lower than for new residential accommodation for sale.
Yeah, another one of the unforeseen problems. I'm in my late 60s. People like myself who own a four-bedroom detached house and want to downsize cannot buy in my area. There's nothing to buy, only to rent. So here we have, you know, one of these unforeseen problems which arises from this policy. Just stay tuned with us, Lorcan. We'll talk to Mark McSharry, the Fianna Fáil DD for Sligo, Leitrim, South Donegal and North Roscommon. Mark, politically, how did we get to this? Because this is a huge embarrassment for the housing minister. I suggested yesterday, you know, his eye was not on the ball.
Well, I wouldn't agree with that entirely, and I agree with, I have to say, very much of what Lorcan had to say. The current housing minister brought forward a bill in opposition which is going to outlaw this, and I'd like to see a move towards that that we're in government. Now, there's three parties in government. There seems to be unanimity, if you're reading the media this morning, across all three, that we need to ban these vulture funds purchasing entire blocks, and I'd very much support that. But, I mean, to focus in on Dara O'Brien would be incorrect. He's the man who's the father of the suggestion of doing that and trying very hard. There's a couple of schemes that have come into play over the course of the last few days. All are welcome if they contribute housing. But I very much agree with Lorcan in that we need to get radical. We need to get back to the golden age of government house building in the state, like the 30s, 40s and 50s, and on a very grand scale, undertake state-sponsored house building of social and affordable nature. So I would very much agree with that.
And the whole tax treatment of these REITs. I mean, I have a text here from a News Talk listener. I was a small landlord in Galway, charging $800 per month for a beautiful two-bedroom modern apartment, but I got the hell out of it. The average landlord is taxed to the hilt on rental income, property charges, maintenance fees, RTB fees, accounting fees, etc., plus 20% social brought down the tone of the estate. The big boys get all the tax breaks while the small guy gets screwed. Good riddance. I mean, how is it that big operators can come in and that this system is allowed to persevere where they pay no tax on their rent rolls while the small landlord who's been providing a service for years and years and years gets hammered?
I agree with you 100%. And I mean, you probably have interviewed John Moran and Michael Noonan about this very issue. I never agreed with throwing our entire property industry under the bus in favour of these large conglomerates, pension funds, whoever they are, coming in and taking over our market to this extent. Now, when there is a gap in the market, the state must step in. We have a housing emergency. We need an element of radical policy along those lines. And that includes, in the coming days and weeks, to outlaw these organisations coming in like they did in Kildare, buying the whole lot. And the very idea, as was said by my colleague John Lahart in recent days, of governments or politicians or parties stating that we promote home ownership, but at the same time we're permitting local authorities all over the country, as is likely to happen in Kildare, going in, renting, paying substantial rents to these organisations who have the benefit of having it tax-free. So that is very much what has to happen.
Looking, Mark, what the planners are doing, and you know, you've got a large development to go straight to on board Planola, and the board doesn't know at that point whether these are going to be for sale or not. I mean, that's not in their gift to decide how they should be disposed of. But they're giving permissions to developers who then sell the entire block for rental, or maybe they don't sell it, maybe they just keep it themselves and rent it out in perpetuity, thus depriving people of investing in a property. As someone pointed out yesterday on the programme, someone who owns a property is investing in society and the stability of society, and preventing that from happening will destabilise society to some extent.
Look, I agree with you, Pat. I mean, there's nothing to disagree with there. And it's government's challenge to join up the dots so that all our various agencies and all departments that are involved in this, you know, underpin the policy that the government is trying to get, which is making housing available at affordable levels to society. The governments for the last 10 years have not done that. And that is why radical policy, including the outlawing of this block buying, must begin. And the state must engage, yeah, as Sean T. O'Kelly did in the 30s, in wholesale buying on a very grand, or purchase, building on a very grand scale nationwide of social and affordable housing.
Because we keep hearing from younger people in the workforce who may be able to get a deposit together, but they're finding it difficult because of what they're paying in rent. But they say, if we could get a property, our mortgage per month would be far less than what we're paying in rent. So this is an unconscionable situation where these developers are forcing people to spend more money on their accommodation than otherwise would be the case if they could buy the damn things.
Yes, I agree with that, and also with Lorcan's point that if we didn't bring these people in originally, that land prices would have dropped, and we could have got the many good builders who sadly were thrown under the bus, for want of a better expression, by the banks during the crash times. And there's an awful lot who cannot get finance now. And if they were there, if land was available at affordable rates, and if our banks, and this is why I believe there's a need to move back to an ACC-ICC type model of financing where the state are involved in lending money to these developers, to build houses. And whether it's a 10 or 15 houses in a Killoony or 1,000 houses in a Dublin, that is what we need to do. But in parallel, the state must undertake to build tens of thousands of social and affordable housing, as was done in the 30s, 40s and 50s. Nothing else will do. Yes, it's radical, but that's what's required. It's an emergency situation.
Mark McSharry, Fianna Fáil TD for Sligo, Leitrim, South Donegal and North Roscommon. And before that, Lorcan Sir, Senior Lecturer in Housing at TU Dublin. Thank you both very much.